There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
It's quite the talk tavern there, Goose.
That's a catchy tune, Zach.
Guess who we got here rolling with us today?
We got Father Jim here.
Father Jim in the house.
Hey, guys.
What are you doing, buddy?
I'm happy to be here. It's good to see you. I haven't seen you in so long.
But yeah, we were talking about it before you came in here. Another one of the greats, Father Gilbert.
Yeah, man.
Passed away.
It's crazy how many comics I like are dying and how many guys I don't like that are still alive.
Yeah.
Like the guys that you really like. Gilbert was such a weird guy in a good way. Like, he was so crazy and the guy who was screaming and dirty. And then you see him at the Comedy Cellar, and he would just be sitting there by himself just sipping wine. It's like, do you want to go on tonight? Oh, no. He's just a quiet, shy guy. Yeah. Really brilliantly funny, though, man. It's completely unexpected.
I mean, what was Gilbert? How old was he?
67.
Yeah. 67. Was he sick for a bit?
Yeah, apparently, I can't use these headphones. They're not working. Some of his heart was going, and I didn't know it.
Right.
But then again, nobody knew Norm Macdonald had cancer. Like, it happens, all of a sudden, they're dead. And I found out Gilbert was dead the day he died. Like, I didn't find out he was sick before or anything.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, sad.
Man, he was a legend, dude.
Don't you guys feel lucky to be alive, though, when your friends die? Like, as much as it's sad, like, as you get older, people start dying, you're like, it sucks, but fuck, I am happy to be here.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, Ozzy always says that when he just, it baffles his mind a lot of times when he just goes, thinks about all the insane things he's done.
Yeah, and he's still
I mean, aside of the partying.
Right.
I mean, like, stupid things, like, when you're hammered, like, he said he remember being on a ski lift, you know what I mean? Like, standing on top of the ski lift.
Yeah.
Like, because everyone's loaded out of their minds, like, just doing completely insane stuff like
where he
just goes, it's amazing I didn't die that night. Or,
right.
You know, where you're just doing ridiculous things, but he just goes, you know, when Ozzy hears about any, especially, like, you know, younger guys passing away, Ozzy goes, oh, that sucks, man, you know, whatever, man. You know, so, but, like, Ozzy's peers, you know what I mean? Like, you know, because Oz now, he's, like, 73, so, like, Oz could look at a picture of all the guys
together
that he rolled together with in 1972.
Yeah.
Like a band shot of, like, you know, the Sabbath guys, these guys at a festival with a bunch of other guys in bands. He goes, Zach, this guy's gone. Right. This girl's gone. That guy's gone. You know, I mean, like, you know, whether, and not only that, whether it's like drugs, OD, liver failure from drinking too much. I mean, just like, car accident, cancer, just got
suicide.
Natural causes, suicide, you know, like where you just go, oh my God.
But yeah,
like,
everybody's leaving the party, man.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, like even like with us, with like they showed a thing of just the other day when
with Taylor?
Kurt Cobain and Layne Staley, because they passed away on the same day, right?
Wow.
You know, but it was like Chris is gone.
Well, everybody
Kurt's
from
gone.
That.
Andrew from
Linkin Park?
The Chester is gone.
Oh, Chester Bennington,
Andrew from the original band that started Mother Love Bone, the singer Andrew.
Yep.
And then, like, they're all gone.
Yeah, Mike Starr, I mean,
I mean, like, I'm just saying from that, our generation, our genre, and especially from that whole 90s. Scene.
The
grunge and nine thing, you know, 90s thing, it was just like, they're all gone. And I
did you know those guys were depressed? Like, as a musician, like, you guys know that their lifestyle better than I do. Did you know, like, guys like Kurt were really depressed, or Chris Cornell, or when it happened, are you like, fuck, or like, kind of sensed he was really upset?
Well, I didn't. I mean, I personally didn't know any of the guys, you know, Jim, like, any. We'd seen Chris, like, at some festival. I saw Chris when he did the Audioslave thing. I said, oh, man, it sounded amazing, or whatever. But I remember Chris, because he wasn't drinking then or anything like that. And Chris goes, I was still drinking at the time. It was right before the pub got closed. Yeah. But I remember I was just like, I was like, oh, Chris, it was that first Audio Slave record, right? And I mean, the show was great. It was awesome. It sounded just like the album. It was just phenomenal. And then we found out they were lip syncing the whole concert. Yeah.
No.
but it was amazing. It was amazing. But I mean, but the whole thing is this. We saw Chris after the show. We were in the hallway before they were getting baseball. I was like, oh, Chris. I'd never met him before, but I was just like, oh, dude, it sounded amazing. He goes, oh, thanks, Zach. He goes, I go, Chris, you want me to get you a beer or something? He goes, no, I'm good, man. Zach, I'm not doing anything. I said, what were you getting? Was it getting too silly? He goes, it was beyond silly. Yeah. And I go, what, just drinking? And he goes, I was having fun with everything, man. He was just laughing, but he just goes, well, I guess... Your shows are better, right? But I mean, like, he was laughing, you know, but he was like, oh, I'm miserable. You know, I mean, you know, just like, he was taking the piss out of himself, you know, like going, yeah, I don't drink anymore. I hate myself, you know what I mean? But it was just like, but he goes, yeah, I guess the shows are better, right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Are you ever depressed? I've only seen you happy. I've always seen you, like, doing great no matter what's going on. Do you go through that? Yeah, I've never
I'm
seen
depressed.
Zach. You're the depressed one.
I'm depressed. I'm being around him.
I've never seen
that. Been 37 years or something. I'm totally depressed.
my whole thing is, it's like... I mean, with any of our friends, I mean, I'm saying that depression, I mean, without a doubt, well, you know, I mean, with depression, I mean, not for nothing. I mean, it's a different thing than playing hurt, you know, with hockey.
Yeah.
You know, like what we're saying, like, guys, man up, and, you know, it's just like they're missing three teeth and then got their broken jaw and a concussion, and they still come out and play and win two goals, you know, scoring goals, you know what I mean?
You can't measure
like where
this.
You're talking mental fortitude, General Patton, Dick Butkus, Ray Nitschke tough. You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's a complete different thing of toughness, like playing hurt and stuff like that. Where, you know, Jack Youngblood playing with a broken leg in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, that toughness and mental, you know, like you said, that's an imbalance.
Chris, man.
It's the
greatest singer in the world. Great-looking dude.
Yeah, great.
Great band, everything, right.
Respected by his peers, his elders, everybody, man.
Paul McCartney, everybody, like, loved Chris.
But no, he couldn't.
And it still wasn't.
Didn't matter,
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Yeah, dude.
Well, even, like, Chester, I saw this one interview with him, and he said, he goes, I'm truly blessed. I'm in a band with all my buddies. We have amazing success, and I have my wife, our kids, like, They're healthy. My life financially, he's just like, I'm truly blessed, man. He goes, but sometimes when I'm alone, I just get into such this dark place. And he was talking about it. It was just
so
like
crazy.
Yeah, it's like, bro, like if you had a broken arm, we'd bring you to the hospital if you had a compound fracture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We got to get that fixed. You know what I mean? Maybe not JD. We just leave him.
But
it's just like,
of course.
But you know, and you know, otherwise it's just like, well, either get you. Get you some medicine for that, man. Mm.
Who are the guys, like you guys, and I mean, I'm just asking you questions I want the answers to. Like, I'm curious. Like, who are guys that you've met, like, in your life? Because I've met every comic I've ever wanted to meet. I was lucky. I got to meet those people. Yeah. And most of the rock guys I've wanted to meet.
Uh-huh.
But who was, like, the first one for either one of you guys that you met that you were like, fuck, man, this is an incredible business to be in, where you couldn't believe you were actually either playing with that person or talking to that person or on a festival with that person?
Well, he played with Ozzy when he was 18.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, definitely Oz.
That's
but I mean,
insane.
I should say besides Ozzy, because Ozzy is.
I mean, I remember playing one night when we did the Pacific Amphitheater. It was Oz. I was doing sound check with Geezer playing bass and Bill playing drums.
Wow,
you know what I mean? So I mean that was pretty crazy. And we were doing probably like Into the Void or something.
Yeah,
and
I was singing
it, you know, for sound check or whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm like, oh, this is like incredible.
I'm in Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
I've always told everybody, like, even me, you know, because me and JD, we love Randy and stuff like that, St. Rhodes and everything like that. So it's just like. You know, me being with Ozzy is pretty much like me being a huge Yankee fan all my life.
Yeah.
Thurman Munson's my guy, and now I'm playing for the New York. I get drafted by the New York Yankees, and I'm playing, and I'm the catcher, standing in the same spot where my hero stood.
You're like Rick Cerrone, you're basically saying. Rick
pretty Cerrone. Much, yes, without a doubt. Gotta love Rick, number 10, brother. Rick Cerrone. What's going on, gang? I want to tell you about an amazing website for staying on top of everything metal, knotfest.com.
Yeah.
Last news. I was just on it today, Goose. I was just checking out.
Pantera's got a new beer out, Vulgar Display of Lager.
Awesome.
You got Dave Mustaine. He's jamming with Lamb of God.
Yeah, they did the Wake Up Dead.
Oh, yes. And then you got Knotfest Roadshow 2022.
Yeah, so if you want to know about new tour announcements, upcoming albums, and everything new going on in the metal scene, this is the website for all your metal-related news and content.
Once again, it's knotfest.com for tons of coverage of everything that's going on in metal.
Yeah!
That's right, Ghost!
Yeah!
Oh my. How about you, JD? I'm just curious, because you guys get access to people that most of us don't.
Shit, man.
I think everybody, I mean, we've been fortunate, though.
Totally.
That all the guys that we've ran into, like, you did, like, meeting, actually, all our heroes, every one of that I've ever met.
Yep.
I got them on a good day.
Yep.
No, where they didn't ruin it, where you could never listen to them again the radio, and you go, you have to change the station.
There's like one or two, but I won't even mention them, so whatever about that. But like, dude, like when I was-
They're like, what's the matter with you, man?
I know.
You're ruining everything. You're ruining everything. The posters come off the wall.
Exactly, you know. In 90, I was touring with Rush, so I got to, you know, really meet, you know, Geddy and play with Neil Peart.
That's great.
I played Geddy's bass with
Father
Vinny Peart.
Vinny Moore.
Yeah, when I was on tour with Vinny Moore. And Zach came down to the Garden when we played the Garden. But I got to actually jam with Neil. You know?
That's amazing.
So that was pretty insane. I mean, meeting Ozzy for the first time was mind-blowing for me.
Yeah, because we love Ozzy. You know?
Oh, of course. I was going to Berklee College of Music at the time, and Zach was coming through Massachusetts and whatever. I, you know, went over and met everybody, went over on a bus with, like, you know, Geezer.
Totally.
And you and Randy. I had such an amazing day, I forgot all about Ozzy.
Yeah.
So we're backstage. I'm like, Zach, all right, I'm going to bring a tape of you playing back to my friends at the dorm and shit, all right? So I got a box, you know, I got the tape going, Zach's playing, and then Ozzy walked in. I was like, holy shit, I forgot all about this. The legend's here. I forgot, man. So that was pretty awesome.
Too, yeah.
Man. So we've been very blessed, man.
I've also been lucky, like very few, I can't think of anyone who I've loved who's been a dick. Like Ozzy's been amazing, and the guys in Sabbath, and Gene Simmons was a little rough one time, but I still loved him.
Yeah.
And the next time I saw him, he didn't remember it, and he was cool to me, and one of my fans started yelling at him, and I was like, dude, shut up. Everything's okay. It's fine.
That's great.
But I have a high tolerance level with guys I love. Like, you have to really, like, I interviewed Buzz Aldrin, and he was kind
of
a couple times he was kind of a dick to me one time, but I'm like, it's fucking Buzz Aldrin. Yeah, right. I'd be a dick to me too if I walked on the moon.
Yeah, right. What do you want, the moon story again?
That's because Jim goes, hey, you got any tang?
That's
what he asked him.
Moon tang.
Oh, come on, man. Well, you know who, but you know who Jim's favorite wrestler is? Jesse the Body.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
That is the greatest.
Well, you know, a little run-in.
Oh, you never saw that footage?
No, I never did.
Oh, yes. It was pretty brutal off the show with the Elena.
Oh,
yeah. We had a pretty nasty argument.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I wish it had gone differently.
Father Brian, if you could pull that thing up.
I wish it had gone differently, because the only part of the argument is shown, because the guy who was filming it, Opie, only had, it wasn't before everything was filmed,
right.
So you only certain parts of the argument. The audio, you can kind of hear how he was shitty to me first.
Yeah.
But it looks like I'm going after him in the video.
Oh, okay.
But I kind of regret that. It's like, I don't dislike Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
He's a character.
Yeah. Were you at a show?
No, it was a radio show.
It was a radio show.
We interviewed him three times, and that third time just didn't quite go well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the final time.
Wow.
you got to see this.
How were the first two?
Well, first one was a little tense. The second one was great.
Right.
And the third one was,
you were sensing that Father Jim may have put the Body into, like, he would have
really?
Went figure four, maybe.
Oh, my God.
I thought the Body was, there was one moment where I'm like, he's going to hit me. Like,
wow.
I was on the air. And you know how it is when it's a performance. I'm like, I got to, I didn't want to. I was nervous because he's Jesse Ventura. But
wow.
I'm glad he did.
But you know, it's, oh, here we go.
Oh.
Yes, they are.
He's hosting a talk show in Saudi Arabia. No, he's not.
They're all not dead. Right. You're sure of that?
Yes.
Were the bodies identified?
No, but that's taking to that argument.
Well, we'll just fly with that. What the hell? My government told me that. So, you know why I don't believe my government?
Well, you believe Saudi Arabia's government?
No, no, no.
Over there flying planes around commercial airliners?
But here's why I don't believe my government. My government has lied to me so many times
in my
life.
Okay, fair enough.
They lied to me about the Gulf of Tonkin incident. Isn't that pretty important? The incident.
Well, you didn't want to go back that far. You don't want to go back that far with Kennedy. We can't go back that far in Vietnam. You said to me that we're those guys.
No,
you said,
because this happened in 2004, pal. We're not going back that far.
Pal, when a guy calls you pal, you're in deep shit.
You're in trouble.
That's not true.
Yes,
I'm not. I agree with you.
When did you go to war?
I've never been in the military.
There you go, sir. You don't know.
But I say pull them out of every. So because I've never been in the military, when we are attacked by I feel a nation, we should not.
It should be proven first.
I feel we proved it. You feel we didn't. You also feel that fucking Bush was behind 9/11. So we're always going to disagree.
Hey, don't put fucking words in my mouth.
You feel that the U.S. government was behind it.
How
and
is
Bush
that?
Was at the head of the
I
US
didn't
government.
Say that.
Who do you think
I
is behind
just said,
it?
I just
our
said
our government's covering it up.
We have not been told the truth.
So you feel that
well,
Bush.
Well, okay, wait a minute. All right. If you'll calm down a moment.
You're yelling. You said
I'm
the F-word. You're the governor.
The
F-word. This is serious. And I'm only talking your language, so you'll understand.
No, you shouldn't bring it down to my level. Bring me up to yours.
You know, let me answer this question.
No, I want to solve what you said about...
You know, if you're not going to let me talk, I'm out the door.
You've been talking the whole time. All you do is yell over people, and you don't want to address point by point. You act like we say, send our boys to war, fuck them. We've never said that. I agree with you, but I want to pull them out of Germany. I want to pull them everywhere. The U.S. military should never be dying for other countries.
I
don't
babbling.
Care.
Korea.
What happens?
Get them out.
Fuck them. I don't care if Kim Jong-il takes this out. That's not my business. Wow. I just think that if we are attacked, we have the right to want our military to respond. So that's not some warmonger saying, fuck the boys, send them over. That's what
He's
I want
pissed.
To address.
Oh, boy, is he pissed.
He is pissed.
Jesse just sits and looks at Jimmy.
Why?
Awkwardly.
That was a fair point I just made. You were wrong when you said that.
I don't know. I didn't listen.
No, but see that thing, that right there.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost anybody in almost any argument. You know what I mean? That's why, like, I don't get into any arguments with anybody about any of this stuff, because you're not going to change
anybody's
that's mind.
Right. That's right.
And you're not going to that. Like
no,
I don't.
Their mind's
it's almost.
Made up
it's, you know what I always go to in Willy Wonka when they go, Mr. Wonka, aren't you going to do anything with the children? You know, like they're jumping in the chocolate river.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He goes, oh yeah, hold on a second. Stop! Don't come back, please.
Yeah.
And then he just goes that out because no one listens
no
anyways.
One listens. Yep. No one listens. That was Twitter. That was Twitter, what you saw right there. That's what Twitter is like.
Yeah.
It was unreasonable. I'm watching that, and I'm going, I was so annoyed, but I should have shut up and let him respond. And before that, like, he hadn't shut up and let me respond. It just got so ugly. And I do regret it, because I actually don't even dislike Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't agree with him, but I like him.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he hates me still.
But it's a truth. Because,
I think he
but
does,
the
too.
Thing is this. But even, like, in the arguments, you're... Your belief is your belief.
Yep.
And then he's going to stick with his, and nobody is budging.
Yep. Yep. No one's budging.
And it's just like, man, I'd rather be cleaning up dog crap right now than talking to you. You know what I mean? Or arguing with you over.
Because we're not going to change each other's mind.
Nothing changes.
And nothing's going to change anyway.
I came to that conclusion, though. You're right. But it was like, as you get older and you realize, like, no matter what I say, no matter how well I say it, it doesn't matter. Like, people feel the way they feel. So it kind of takes the pressure off. Like, I'll just say what I want to say, and I'm not going to change anybody's mind.
Nothing.
And I can't resent them for not going over to my side. It's like, it's fine. Think
exactly.
What you think, you know?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. I mean, like, I couldn't care less whether you think Led Zeppelin 2... You, if you think it's not as good as Led Zeppelin 4.
Like, what do you mean?
Then that, say, there you go.
What are you talking about?
What I'm just saying, it's just like.
But I'll take Master Reality over both of them.
There you go. But that's your opinion.
Yeah.
You know
exactly.
What I mean? So you're not going to change
wrong,
somebody.
You're right. Wrong, Jim.
That,
all right, how about Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath? Come on.
Exactly. What's going on, gang? Zach Wild and the Goose here. We want to take a quick second and thank one of our newest sponsors and a company that's been supporting our bands for years now, the Mad Viking Beard Company.
The team at Mad Viking has one purpose. It's to help their bearded and tattooed brothers of the world become their absolute best.
They believe it's not enough to only look good, but you must also feel good and live life to its fullest, Goose.
The Mad Viking Brotherhood is strong, Zachy, and has partnered with Black Label Society to bring our fans a top-notch collaboration to commemorate the anniversary of the Sonic Brew debut release.
That's right. Made with premium ingredients and a unique scent profile created specifically for the Sonic Brew release, Goose.
Ooh.
The Black Label Society Beard Care line is a must-have for all the bearded metalheads. Yeah. And, of course, just like all their other products, is proudly made in the USA.
In addition to the Black Label Society line, check out all their other beard and skincare products. And one of my personal favorites, the Tattoo Balm. Oh, yeah.
Look, we have a lot of time and money invested in our ink, and it doesn't make sense to use subpar, overpriced, or generic balm on our arts.
Go check out MadVikingBeard.com for their full line of hair and skincare products. While you're there, make sure you get the Black Label Society Sonic Brew Anniversary line before it's gone.
Oh, yeah, Goose.
Yeah.
Again, that's at MadVikingBeard.com.
Yeah.
And use promo code BLS20 for 20% off your next order. And join the horde of guys making a switch to Mad Viking.
Ah!
Ah!
But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're not going to change anyone's mind. I mean, whether you put, you know, whether you're talking sports teams or you're talking boxers or athletes or quarter, who's the best quarterback, you know, Brady over Joe Montana. Oh, and then somebody will, but Montana never lost. And it's like, but Montana never went to 7 Super Bowls.
Yeah,
right. Or won seven. He went to 10.
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. So you can't go, Joe's never gone to 10. So he might have lost one in there and won 9. You know, so, but what I'm just saying is they will, they'll tell you that he's not the greatest because he lost 3.
To the NFC East.
Mind you, avenged every one of those losses.
Yes, but the bottom line is you should see me trying to argue that Danny White is better than fucking Brady. Nobody wants to hear that.
But Danny White had better numbers than Roger.
Did he really?
And I think he had better numbers than Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
We actually
really
you might
Father Bryce,
about that.
Father Bryce, and you know it's because Danny didn't win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
But his numbers
he didn't even get to
were actually better than Rodgers, I think.
He never got to a Super Bowl, I don't think.
I'm not joking.
Yeah.
I mean, because they always would get to the NFC playoff game, you know what I mean? Or a NFC championship.
Yeah.
But he couldn't get over it. And you know, you're coming at Larry Holmes is coming out of the shadow of Ali.
Yeah.
Danny's coming out of the shadow of Roger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
You know during Dwight Clark's catch, was that Danny White quarterbacking for Dallas?
Yeah. 81. I think that was, probably Danny was right there when the Niners started their reign.
Yeah. That was a rough one for Dallas. I'm not a football fan anymore. I used to be a Cowboy fan, but now that they don't win, I'm like, fuck them. I'm very bandwagon. I'm bandwagon.
How are you going all the way?
Oh, you bet I am.
Good
when
for you.
When you win, I'll buy a shirt. If not, go fuck yourself.
Now he's wearing Steelers shirts and they're the rival. You know, doesn't matter.
That's like my brother. Who's the who's your favorite team? Who won? Who won his World Series?
I used to be really, but it bothered me. Like when Leon Letts slid on Thanksgiving and fucking kicked that football, I threw a shoe and it put a hole in my door.
Yeah.
And I was dating a girl and she's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And she left.
And the best is, Jim didn't even have any money on the game.
Oh my God.
No, it was her shoe.
I can understand if he, like, you know, just lost 10 grand
because
of that play.
I don't gamble at all.
But you know what, though? I mean, because I don't gamble either, but I'll tell you right now, it is a good time in regards to we could be watching a fishing tournament and whoever catches the biggest fish, if we all, each one of us takes one guy and we all have $100 down on this,
it makes it so much better.
And now we're watching to make sure our guy pulls in the biggest great white shark, you know, or whatever. I'm saying it really is amazing. Once you put action down.
Oh, it's amazing.
Even if it's $20 with your buddy, man, it's just like you're putting.
I bet small, man, you know. I don't like to give my money away like that.
I don't either.
You know,
and
saying?
It takes away the enjoyment of whatever you're doing because the money becomes the fuck.
But that's what I'm saying. I just bet a little bit just to make it a little interesting and just fun. You know, that's it. People could fucking lose their life, man.
What's the toughest sports loss you've ever taken? Meaning, as a fan, what's the hardest single sports loss you've ever been wounded by?
I'm a Mets fan, so there's so many.
Oh, boy.
I think I might have had like 500 bucks. Like, I gave you 100 bucks. I have 100. JD's got 100. And maybe Jeffy and Dario over here. I gave everybody 100 bucks. We all put it down at the blackjack table. We were playing Vegas or something.
Yeah, yeah.
We all put it down. You went over.
Yeah.
I was under. You went over. Dario went under. Yeah. That Jeff's under.
$500
He pulled out like a 20.
Yeah.
Out of 21.
2 seconds.
Cleaned us all out. I go, wow, $500 gone yeah. like that. I go, this is a good time. Yeah. I was like, and this is when I was drinking. So yeah, I go, right. at least if I spent $500 on booze,
yeah, that's
at least
time.
I'd have something to show for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Vomit. Yeah.
and then eat that. And then keep going.
I'd eat that and cop a buzz off of that.
Yeah.
Totally.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. The puke yeah. is good because I can regurgitate yeah, exactly. the buzz.
Without a doubt.
It's win-win.
Oh.
So that's actually $500 going in, $500 coming out, yeah. $500 more going in. So I spent the $500 and got $1,000 back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You won.
You are know? The winner.
Yeah.
You are the true
No, but
winner.
You know what I'm saying? That's when I was just like, probably for me, that was my biggest loss. And I was just like,
no,
this he is was
no, 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 I don't mean financial. I mean like which one bugged. Like, for me, it was like the Yankees losing to the fucking Diamondbacks in 2001. Like yeah. that loss.
Crushed you.
What's yeah. that?
Louis Gonzalez.
No money, but in my mind, it was
Louis
like,
Gonzalez.
Oh. Yeah, and that was two runs off Rivera in the ninth. Yeah. It was fucking
that
horrible.
Was, yeah. That was pretty painful.
That was the worst one for me.
Mariano was human.
Yeah, he had blown a few though. They stopped bringing him in the Red Sox, fourth inning.
Yeah, but what about Boston? What about Boston coming back as a Yankee fan and just cleaning house? The
oh
Yanks were up.
Oh my God!
Yanks nothing. Were up 3-0.
Yeah.
They sweep the Yankees, yeah. then sweep the Cardinals.
I
who everyone thought the Cardinals were going to destroy
yeah.
either
yeah.
either the Yankees or the Sox. Whoever won, they were like they're going to get crushed by the Cardinals.
And they sat for so long. Right?
Do you really think that has a lot to do with it, though?
Well, no, I think no. The Sox though swept. Oh no, they didn't sweep because they came back from this.
They swept the Yankees. That's they won. No. They had the win. They won
four
eight
in
a row.
Yeah,
they won eight in a row.
But they won seven against the Yankees.
Yes,
so St. Louis was waiting. I think.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So sometimes I think in football it's worse.
Oh, you sick. Mean like rust, a little bit of
yeah.
rust, not playing. Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I'm saying.
It's going to be a pitching staff, but it's not good play
no,
for the other players.
No,
yeah.
So I don't know if that had anything to do with it.
I know what you're saying, because I always say, because you have momentum going in.
Yeah, and then you have, and you know, your routine. You know how,
yes, I get
you know
it.
What I'm saying? But I don't know.
No, it's just like, it's like with a band or, you know, when you're doing stand-up,
yeah,
Jim.
That,
when you know,
was
the first three
Yankee
shows,
yes,
you know, the first
brutal.
Three shows you do, it starts like, it's a well-oiled machine after at that point. You know what I'm saying? Even
yeah.
whether it's Ozzy, Black Label, whatever,
yeah.
you know, the first
yeah, yeah, yeah.
first couple shows in, even if the first one's cool and it's not, there's not really mm-hmm. any flaws, even with the Doom Crew, I'm saying with the tunings
yeah, yeah, yeah,
and the
yeah,
guitars
yeah, yeah.
or whatever. But I'm saying once you get a routine, I'm saying
totally,
every
yeah,
day you get ready.
Yeah.
As soon as 9:30 comes rolling around, it's time to go make the donuts. But
and, you know,
I mean,
and then for me, when it's like a 1 o'clock show, then it's a little weird. You know,
oh, day show,
yeah.
yeah, man, I hate day shows.
And it's got to be the same for an athlete. Like the Rangers play every night at 7 o'clock, right?
Yeah.
And if they got to play at 12:30 one day, you're like, what's this? Especially if, you know, a sport is a lot different. But
because
well,
you sleep and your routine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you ever see that cartoon of the guy who he threw a no hitter, but he was on acid when he did it?
Oh, Richards. J.R. Richards.
Not J.R. Richards
no,
from Houston. No, I forget
Doc
who
Gooden.
Was that. It was a West Coast team, I think.
What's that? Doc Gooden.
I don't
know. No.
It wasn't J.R. Richards.
No.
He was on acid, and they do like some crazy animation online where he's walking through because he thought it was the day after, and he was like, oh, fuck, you're pitching today. Doc Ellis?
Doc
was
Ellis.
Was it Doc Ellis?
Yeah.
He was on acid, and he threw
oh,
a no-hitter.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a great
Doc Ellis.
If you get a chance to watch that. But
it's insane.
Sometimes with athletes, something's weird. You're not expecting something.
Yeah.
And it works out beautifully.
Totally.
9 times out of 10, that doesn't happen.
Like with Mickey Mantle and Billy Martin and Whitey Ford. Just smashed all the time.
All
and
yeah,
time.
Yeah, yeah.
I hit 4 home runs, Jeff. Amazing.
Totally.
You know, but I mean,
totally.
No, but talking about routines, like I'll get into it even with Barb. So, you know, like we have, I have to pick my spots. When Sabbath goes to school, Barb gets home, I have that 1 hour window where I have to take, you know, I have to take my performance enhancing drugs before,
PEDs,
you know, yes, I have that hour before, then we got to do what we got to do because at night it's not going to happen.
A blue pill. Yeah, I love the blue pills.
Yes,
oh, I love them.
Without a doubt. So, I mean,
blueberry.
It's just like,
yeah.
Yes, yes. Blueberry is a wonderful cereal.
Blueberry.
Did you like the blueberry over Frankenberry or chocolate?
Yeah, you smile and you get blue grit all over your teeth.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, fuck, I forgot to rinse with water.
I loved Frankenberry. I liked Frankenberry.
The Frankenberry?
Yep. And the Wolfman one, he was out there for a little bit. Not long.
I'm a Count Chocula person.
Yeah?
Yeah,
remember
I like that.
Well, here's the other classic.
Delicious.
Brute Berry.
What's that?
It was a short run, but it was like the fruit berry of the Count Chocula, the Boo Berry,
and Frankenberry.
Ah.
It was, and he was called Brute Berry, like the Wolfman. There you go.
Really? I liked Fred Berry. Remember him?
Oh, I love Fred Berry. He was in a movie called Vice Squad where he got stabbed in the dick with a fucking switchblade.
Rerun. Fucking rerun, man.
What kind of cereal is this?
Delicious.
Oh, my God.
It's nuts.
Literally. It
Fred
was.
Fred Berry.
What's going on, Zach Wilde and the Goose here? Spring is here.
Yeah.
Isn't it time to clean up your mismatched and worn-out sock collection while making your feet feel amazing in shoes, sneakers, or boots?
Hershey socks are truly the only hybrid fashion athletic socks on the market.
Are you tired of your feet hurting in your dress shoes? Well, Hershey's custom feet and arch support. Solve all that!
Tired of digging your socks out of your boots? Hershey Stay Up technology solves that.
Well, tired of your feet stinking?
Oh, yeah.
And your kicks after your workout or a game? Yeah. Well, Hershey's breathable cotton and all the good properties that it has solves all that!
Right. Most fashion, athletic, and dress socks are expensive. Poorly constructed and provides zero protection. Not ours.
Oh, no. Well, Hershey cut out the middleman and provides a superior product at a superior price, Goose.
Top of that, with multiple styles and colors, you'll look just good while feeling great.
Yeah. Well, don't take our word for it.
Nope. Go to HersheySocks.com. HeshiSocks.com.
That's right. Enter the promo code Goose 30 for 30% off your entire order of our fashion, athletic, basic, or ankle socks.
HersheySocks.com. The best thing,
the best
ever,
thing to ever happen to your feet or your footsies.
My friend's father actually did the voice of Frankenberry. I mean, I met him as a comedian. His name is Brian McFadden, big voiceover guy, and his dad was a big voiceover guy. And
did Frankenberry.
Did Frankenberry, yeah. Nice. Fred Berry, watch Vice Squad. It's from like the late 80s or the mid 80s, where he plays a pimp, and Wiz Houser plays another pimp who stabs him in the dick with a switchblade.
Oh, my God.
Fucking great. He's wearing a silk robe.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Fred Berry?
Oh, my God. I just, my girlfriend sent me a meme of him, you know?
We need to make this a cereal.
So great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They were the best.
They were, yeah. I like the old, I like older movies too. Newer stuff I'll watch, but I kind of prefer older stuff. Maybe that's just what, like, we wax poetic about shit from when we were younger.
It was better, man. It was good. There was just so much good shit.
I guess.
When we were younger. They run out of ideas now? I don't know, man.
No, I don't think so. I really think, well, there's two sides to that coin, because me and JD ever talk about is we're not fully on board with the, well, things were better when we were younger,
right.
type thing, you know.
Right.
So I mean, it's not that. It's just that.
But the classics, man.
No. But the classics. But think about it. Before, you know, because we love The Exorcist, Jaws, everything like that, right? Before they came out, you know, people were just going, "Oh man, everything sucks," or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So every generation,
probably,
that's right, yeah,
probably
has. Because I'm just saying, like,
I don't know,
always talk like with musicians, with music, yeah. You know, the Sinatra generation, right? So when Elvis and Chuck Berry and, you know, Buddy Holly came out and that thing was exploding, they were like, oh my God, you hear the stuff my little brother listens to? It's horrendous, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, this is garbage. Then when the Beatles and the Stones hit.
Yeah, we get it.
They were like, everyone that loved Elvis was like, have you heard this stuff my little brother listens to? It's crap.
Terrible.
Man.
Yeah.
And then the same thing after the Stones and the Beatles. You know, all of a sudden, you know, when it started morphing, you know, late 60s, all the flower power, and you had Hendrix, Cream, and Zeppelin and Sabbath and Deep Purple. It was like, have you heard this crap, my little brother?
Right.
You know, it's the same thing,
totally.
Man. I remember, put it this way, like the 25, 26-year-olds, I was reading this article. It was kind of funny, talking about the age gap type things. You know, like the seniors in high school when the freshmen are coming in, obviously they're, have you heard what they're listening to?
It's
crap, you know? So somebody wrote a review when Zeppelin came out. It said, well, yeah, I guess Robert Plant's okay if you've never heard Roger Daltrey.
because they right. like The Who.
Yeah, right.
And so to them, Zeppelin is what my 15-year-old little brother and my sister listened to.
Well, there was one guy.
They were all 24, 25.
Yeah. There was a guy in Rolling Stone who used to trash Zeppelin for years, gave them bad reviews. He was just the guy. That became his identity, was the guy who would give Zeppelin bad reviews. And it's like, even when you listen to that old shit, it's like, how could you think this sucks? Even if you didn't love it, how could you think this sucks?
No, it's because they all slept with his girlfriend.
Probably.
But I didn't let him in. I think it's just so funny about all that. Like, I just used to think it was hilarious. Even when I was younger, I was just like, because Jimmy Page, the big thing was he would get so upset by these reviews.
Hated
like,
them.
He would just like, take them personally.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And it's like, but Jimmy, you just played in... broke the attendance. You just broke the Beatles attendance record. You had like 68,000 people in this Tampa Stadium.
What do you care about this?
Why do you even... Apparently, they like the record.
Yeah, but you're getting blown in Aleister Crowley's house.
Yeah,
what do you care what this fucking asshole critic does?
Nice fucking
ass. Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know what I always thought was weird about the critics and stuff like that, or just reviews of anything, whether it's a movie or anything, and where you go... If somebody said Jaws or The Exorcist or Jaws or Animal House was terrible, it's not even funny. And then we go see the movie. I go, what movie did they see?
Yeah.
And I'm like.
Totally.
Like, no, I'll go see the movie and judge whether I like it or not.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, you don't want to go see it because so-and-so, whatever magazine said, it sucks. Yeah. You know, I go.
That's so funny.
And critics are almost always failed at whatever they're reviewing.
Yeah,
most times there are people who couldn't do what they're reviewing,
so they
find a way to frame it where they can still have an impact.
David Lee Roth, this is a funny thing from quote from Dave. He just goes, they go, David Lee, I think it was one of the music magazines or something. And he just goes, why do you think they all like, they can't stand Van Halen, but they like Elvis Costello. He goes, well, they all look like Elvis Costello. That's why they like Elvis Costello. They hate us. Because they all look like Elvis Costello. And I was just like, actually, that makes... He's pretty spot on.
That's funny.
You know, well, they all look like Elvis Costello. That's why they love him.
Totally.
That's why they hate us.
Yeah.
So it doesn't bother you? I try. Like, I don't read social media comments. I just, because it makes me dislike people. So do you try not to, like, engage with that stuff just because, not even because it's negative. It's just like, it's just too much. I don't need
to make a fucking opinion. Whenever I read negative stuff.
I love his negative.
No, whenever I read it, I go. Father Jim.
A lot of times it's me.
You know, JD wrote that one. You know what I mean? It's just like hack mild.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. This album even sucks more than the last one.
How
if that's even
it?
Possible, I go, oh, Goose is at it again.
I got a burner again.
The best is like when Ozzy will write and see any of these reviews. Yeah. Ozzy will be the first one to go, Zach, look at this one. This one's pretty good. You know?
Yeah.
I guess you get used to it, right? Like, Sabbath always got shit on by the critics. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, people hate us, you know?
Well, Ozzy said he goes, if Sabbath ever got a good review, he goes, we're like, something's gone awry over here. Like, something, are they trying to kill us or something? Right. You know, because something's not right. You know what I mean? But, I mean, it was just like with Spinal Tap. You remember when it was like the one review was instead of shark sandwich, shit sandwich. They can't write that, can they?
I've never seen that whole movie. I've never seen all of Spinal Tap.
Really?
It's crazy. I know it's a fucking classic.
Yeah.
I've watched moments of it. I like Michael McKean. I've never seen the whole film.
Yeah. Oh, you got it. I mean, there's just so many things in there.
So, and it's so true to life. Like for a touring musician, the shit happened like the cold sore thing. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
It was so funny. I'm with Drill, right?
90. Yeah, because they were obviously both with the same girl.
Right.
Yeah. They both got cold sores.
It was 95. I'm on the tour bus. We're watching Spinal Tap. And I look over at my guitar player and he's got a cold sore.
No way.
I'm like, this is fucking awesome, man. It's so true. There's so many things.
Come to the territory.
Getting lost or something like underneath the place.
Oh, yeah. Dude, and then the girlfriend type stuff. Yeah,
one time, me and Filth got locked out of the place when you were soloing. See, Zach would do a solo by himself, right? So this is the beginning of Black Label.
JD definitely left the building.
Whenever that happened. But me and the drummer had to take a piss, so we just ran outside, right? Shut the door, and the door was locked. We couldn't get back in. Couldn't get back in. We're pounding on. We're like, he's.
Would you have to go around front?
No, I don't even remember.
You didn't have your laminate. So
no,
you
know, no, no. Yeah. I think somebody actually finally came, but it was pretty funny, dude. But all these things, like they happen. You know,
no, it's that movie is amazing.
It's amazing, dude.